edition of World Crisis Radio. I'm your host, Webster Topley, in Washington, D.C. Now, we're taping this show on Friday, the 19th of September. And the question today is this a day of national suicide? According to the wishes of Bush, Pelosi, Harry Reid, Paulson, Bernanke, Cox, Steny Hoyer, Barney Frank, Chris Dodd, the entire pan oligarchy, the entire discredited political shop of the ruling elite of the United States is now in favor of a multi-trillion dollar derivatives bailout. It's not a mortgage bailout. It's a derivatives bailout. They're essentially hawking the entire future of the United States in order to bail out the bankrupt and discredited crooks and thieves of Morgan Stanley, Goldman Sachs, Citibank, J.P. Morgan Chase, and the rest of the finance oligarch institutions. The princes of usury are now, they had their hand in the till at the Federal Reserve for the past year. They now want to get their hand into the Treasury accounts, the U.S. Treasury, and therefore they want to get their hand into your pocket. And the problem is, it won't work. The framework for this discussion today is the need to block the bailout, filibuster it, block it, stop it, add killer amendments. Killer amendments would be the things that the public interest might demand as distinct from the interest of the financier oligarchy. I want to describe this crisis in some detail, but let's frame it. I'll put bookends at the beginning and the end of the entire discussion. Here are the measures that the public interest requires. What we're getting from Wall Street, from Paulson, who, of course, is a Goldman Sachs alumnus, springs into action precisely when Goldman Sachs is about to blow, interestingly enough. We have to approach this entire crisis from the point of view of use values, of real physical production, hard commodities, not the maintaining of fictitious, bloated, cancerous paper values. Forget the paper. The paper can go down. We need to maintain production, distribution, employment, and real economic activity. Now, what we've got now is competent policy stood on its head. We've now got cheap credit and government guarantees for cancerous derivatives and no cheap credit at all for real production. In particular, we have measures to protect financial institutions, but zero, nothing, to protect industrial corporations, the few that we still have. So let's add in the following provisions to the bailout package, which is now in the works. First of all, stop foreclosures. Stop all foreclosures for 5 years, or for the duration of the crisis, whichever takes longer. That includes homes. Your primary residence is sacrosanct. You will not be evicted for foreclosure for 5 years. My God, the public is putting up trillions of dollars for the Wall Street sharks and hyenas, and we're not even getting a stop on foreclosures. In other words, you're going to be taxed to pay Goldman Sachs, and they're going to come and foreclose on your house. The idea is monstrous. Stop all foreclosures for 5 years. That includes farms, family farms, businesses. That includes anything to do with infrastructure, transportation, taxi companies, shipping lines, ferries, airlines, railroads. All of those are protected. Anything that produces something, any factory, any farm, any mine, anything that has tangible physical production or that you can live in or use. No foreclosures for 5 years. We've got to protect the real economic system from this cancerous mass of paper. Secondly, bankrupt banks should be seized, not propped up. Seize bankrupt banks. It basically means seize J.P. Morgan Chase, seize Citibank, seize Bank of America. Destroy their derivatives. Destroy the derivatives book. It would have been nice to tax these out of existence. We don't have time for that now. Derivatives have zero value. They have negative value. They destroy any civilization that tampers with them. There's no such thing as a market value for derivatives. There is no market for credit default swaps, at this point. There never has been a market for various other kinds of designer derivatives and structured notes. Wipe out derivatives. There are now between $1 and $2 quadrillion of derivatives in the world. These, again, the zero value is the nicest thing we can say about them. They have massively negative value. They're a black hole. We've got to use the super anti-derivatives death ray to wipe out derivatives, shred them, delete them. The bonfire of the derivatives is what we need. We cannot have public money going into things that were considered illegal as recently as 15 years ago. The derivatives go back to Greenspan and to Rubin at the Clinton administration. So there's plenty of guilt for both of the bankrupt parties that are coming together today in pan-oligarchy. But again, don't ask for the market. No, no, no. You want powerful New Deal state action to wipe out derivatives. The only force that can destroy derivatives would be the federal government, and it's going in the wrong direction right now. Another point, a Tobin tax. The Tobin tax would have been the way to tax derivatives out of existence. We still need a 1% Tobin tax on all financial transactions to discourage speculation. We need that securities transfer tax. Another thing we need, to stop oil speculation. Goldman Sachs is now being bailed out. They continue to speculate in the price of oil. They're driving up the price of oil even as we speak. It's climbing well over $100 a barrel again because Goldman is no longer forced to liquidate those derivatives contracts on the oil futures. And the same thing for Morgan Stanley and the rest of these bankrupt banks. Effective measures to stop oil speculators in their tracks. We could get the price of oil down to 75 and to 50 quickly enough. And then, of course, you've got to provide additional production. If we need more tax revenue, I have a candidate. The foundations, the Ford Foundation, the Annenberg Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the accumulated wealth of the economic royalists and malefactors of great wealth that have been amassed into these despicable foundations. Barky Obama is a product of this world. If you get an Obama regime, you'll essentially have a coup d'etat by the foundation world, led by the Ford Foundation, the Annenberg, the Carnegie, the Rockefeller, and all the rest of these robber barons, thieves, looters, and sociopathic individuals. Another point, if we're going to put this money into Wall Street, which we should not do, we must guarantee the full funding of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment insurance for 52 weeks minimum, Head Start, food stamps, the earned income tax credit has got to be expanded. In other words, the social safety net, wretched as it is in this country, has got to be guaranteed. Otherwise, what are we doing? We're going to be giving trillions to Wall Street and then turning around to say, oh, and by the way, we need entitlement reform. We're going to cut your Social Security benefits, and you can work now until you're 89 years old so that nobody will be able to get it. In addition, look at these characters. Obama's close friends, Franklin Raines, the OMB director under Clinton, looted Fannie Mae for $90 million. Jim Johnson, Trilateral Bilderberg, we've been attacking him on the show, was picked to choose Barkey's vice presidential nominee, and I think he did. He picked Joe Biden, who is a tool of the MBNA, Credit Gouging and Usury Corporation, the credit card jackals and hyenas. Those guys walked away with $90 million in one case and $100 million in the other case. Make them disgorge. Go after those guys. Get that money back. This is merely symbolic at this point compared to the billions and trillions that are being thrown around. But put the fear of God back into finance oligarchs. Don't let them walk away. And then we're going to need an economic recovery program. We'll recapitulate these points in the second segment.
Radio.
Crisis Radio. Your host, Webster. The press, an attempt to block the copy adjusted in due time. That's simply a technical glitch. They show one copy available. You can order any number of copies, and please do. Barack H. Obama, the unauthorized biography, first copy shipped on September 11th, so it is brand new, hot off the press, an attempt to block the fascist seizure of power by somebody who is owned lock, stock, and barrel by these same banks. Goldman Sachs and Lehman Brothers make no doubt about who they're supporting. They've given about five times more money to Obama than to the Republican opponent. So there is no doubt that Barky Obama is the puppet of finance capital. He's a product of that world of the foundations, the Ford, the Joyce, the Woods, the Annenberg, the Gamaliel, and other foundations. He comes from a world with people like Bernadine Dorn, who gets money from the MacArthur Foundation because of her terrorist genius, no doubt. So, again, keep buying Obama the Postmodern Coup. You can get that at Amazon and Lulu.com in each case. And Barack H. Obama, the unauthorized biography, get that at Amazon.com, please. Get them now because the election is coming on like the clap of doom, and you've got to try to salvage what can be salvaged. Now, in terms of what should be done, rather than approach this thing through the doomed attempt to prop up cancerous, bloated, fictitious asset values in terms of pure paper, meaning derivatives, we're dealing with a $1 to $2 quadrillion derivatives bubble. Don't believe this idiotic fairy tale you're being told that it all started because some greedy poor person wanted to have a bigger house than they could really afford, and some unscrupulous banker let himself be talked into it by some poor wretch in the inner city or something like this. This is absolutely ridiculous. It's $1 to $2 quadrillion of derivatives. These were of very dubious legality into the early 1990s. And ultimately, the person that we can blame for this all is Greenspan, Greenspan the libertarian, Greenspan the great disciple of Ayn Rand and all the rest of this stuff. And naturally, the ideology, and we'll talk about this later, the ideology under which this massive looting has been conducted is the deregulation and privatization mantra of Milton Friedman, the Chicago School, Friedrich von Hayek, the Austrian School, and the Mount Pelerin Society. If you know about Bilderberger and Trilateral and CFR and Skull and Bones, add another one to the list. Because in economics, the world central think tank for looting economics, for the destruction of the modern state and the modern middle class, is this infamous Mount Pelerin Society. Above Geneva, above Lake Vevey, there is the seat of this noxious, subversive foreign institution. And anybody who owes fealty to the Mount Pelerin Society, the Austrian School, or the Chicago School, it's all the same stuff. It's different levels of different literacy. This is all the root of the crisis. If you want to know one person to blame, blame Milton Friedman for this awful mess that we're in now. Let me repeat. We need measures of dirigism, of protectionism, and of economic recovery. We need an economic recovery program in the tradition of Alexander Hamilton, Abraham Lincoln, and the Franklin D. Roosevelt New Deal, because that is all the same line. We need to stop foreclosures on any home, any business, any farm for a minimum of 5 years and for the duration of this crisis. We've got to keep civilization functioning. Forget the paper. Focus on the survival of civilization as we have known it. Secondly, wipe out all derivatives. That's between $1 and $2 quadrillion worldwide, probably one half to two-thirds of that here in the United States. They have no value. Get rid of them. Tobin tax, 1%. Securities transfer tax on all stock and bond and paper turnovers. Effective measures to stop oil speculation and other commodity speculation, which is going to emerge as an extremely important point. A surtax for the foundations, Ford, Annenberg, Rockefeller, Carnegie, those robber barons who should have been taxed even a century ago can now pay the price that they should have been paying all along. We need effective guarantees for the Social Security system, Medicare, Medicaid, the social safety net, food stamps, Head Start. You're going to be needing these things. Unemployment benefits extended immediately to 56 weeks for everybody. Track down these people like Fold of Bear Stearns, Fold of Lehman Brothers. Get those people, Ace Greenberg from Bear Stearns. Get Fold from Lehman Brothers. Get Hank Greenberg of AIG, another crook. Get Raines. Get Jim Johnson. These are both advisors to Barkey, by the way. And make them disgorge the ill-gotten profits. And we need an economic recovery program that amounts to seizing the Federal Reserve and forcing them to do what they don't want to do, which is to issue cheap credit, not to prop up cancerous derivatives, but to maintain employment in industrial production, hard commodity production, tangible physical wealth production. In other words, the means of human existence have got to come first rather than propping up paper values. The propping up of paper values is a fool's errand. It is national suicide. Now, under the package that has been outlined today by Hanky Panky Paulson of Goldman Sachs with Cox, the pathetic Cox, who should be on his way out already, the non-director of the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, who is completely feckless and manifests himself as a void. He's a black hole in himself. We also had Bernanke there. We also had other officials. What are we going to get under that bailout? Well, first thing we're going to get is hyperinflation. Hyperinflation. You can already see the dollar has been falling for quite a few days this past week. It's going to fall faster. Hyperinflation will destroy the U.S. currency, given the current policies. Watch out for hyperinflation. And people will say, oh, the oil price is going up again. What happened? Oil is now up $3 just in one day. It's back above 100. It's on its way to 200 and 500 and 1,000. There's no limit, given the hyperinflationary policies now being embraced. We'll be back in a minute before hyperinflation creeps up. We'll be back on World Crisis Radio.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Likely effects if Hanky Panky Paulson, Helicopter Ben Bernanke, Cox of the SEC, Bush, and the rest of this gang get what Pelosi, Reid, Dodd, and Barney Frank, oh my God, are promising, then what's the likely effect? Again, the first step is dollar hyperinflation accelerating to the point where it will no longer be possible to say, well, this is a spike in the price of oil and of this or that food commodity. It's going to be hyperinflation across the board. Just on Thursday afternoon, yesterday, that is to say September 18th, hell gaped, the abyss gaped below the feet of Wall Street. The Federal Reserve pumped in 180 billion smackaroonies on Thursday afternoon to try to prop up the banking system, and even especially the money market mutual funds, which had been falling like 10 pins, and that $180 billion disappeared within minutes. Today we've got $50 billion for money market mutual funds alone. In the course of the week, we had a $70 billion fund allegedly put up by 10 banks, but really that's based on Federal Reserve lending. That was a $70 billion fund, and looks like the central banks around the world have pumped in about $200 billion in the last couple of days, and that's just, you know, that's just for starters, right? That's just to be in. That's to ante up after this, the trillion-dollar injections begin. So we're looking at hyperinflation in the dollar right now. That is to say, an exacerbation of the death agony of the dollar. The dollar as a reserve currency in the post-1971 form, the ruins of Bretton Woods form, is finish, kaput, it's gone. Now, the Treasury bonds, U.S. Treasury securities. Now, notice, the Wall Street bandits, pirates, hyenas, jackals, bloodsuckers, leeches, and ticks have got their hands not just in the Federal Reserve now, but into the Treasury, into the public till. And this, of course, has very bad overtones for Treasury bonds. Just before this stuff happened, that is to say around midweek, we had a very singular event that Standard & Poor's and Moody's came out and said, we hereby reaffirm the AAA credit rating of the U.S. government. Oh, my gosh. You didn't need to do that, boys, because that obviously means responding to doubts about the AAA rating of the U.S. government. We are now reaffirming the AAA rating. Well, if you need to reaffirm it, it means that it is no longer an automatic fait accompli. It is now highly in doubt, and this afternoon, Treasury bonds are falling. And a lot of this stuff, of course, happens when the Asian exchanges are closed. It's the middle of the night now in Tokyo and such places, and the Europeans have largely gone home for a late Friday afternoon, taking the afternoon off. So the real selling pressure on the dollar and on Treasury bonds will materialize on Monday. And obviously, the plunge protection team and so forth will do what they can. So this is a disaster. What we've got, again, is cheap credit for cancerous, fictitious, bloated derivatives values, and no cheap credit for the automobile industry or any other industry that produces something that people need. Interestingly enough, the prejudice built into this bailout situation could not be more clear. There's now a list from Cox, this feckless idiot, Cox, at the Securities and Exchange Commission. Senator McCain says, fire him. Absolutely. Fire him yesterday. Jail him. Indict him. Not just fire him. Get him in handcuffs. Get him with the perp walk. There are now 799 financial companies that you cannot short. Naked shorting, that is to say, selling a stock that you do not have and do not even borrow, was outlawed or at least frowned on, I guess, earlier in the week. But now we have something with a few teeth in it. There's a list of 799 financial companies that cannot be shorted, not naked and not in the traditional short method. And why is it that we want to protect financial companies? Couldn't we protect Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler, who produce something, or various food companies or farms, who produce, after all, the things that we need to eat, or pharmaceutical companies? No, none of that. Even as bad as those companies are, they don't qualify. It's only pure cancer, pure fictitious bloated values that are maintained under this system. And now we have General Electric. This is classic. General Electric comes forward saying, wait a minute, we wish to be reclassified as a financial company because we have GE Capital. We're really a hedge fund in drag. So get us on that list so you can't short us. Obviously, it means that the panic-driven selling pressure will be concentrated as soon as this idiotic bubble of this afternoon. As I talk to you, it's up 423 on the Dow and about 71 on the NASDAQ and what have you. As soon as that euphoria, and a lot of that is short covering, because the reason that these things are going up is that the ban on shorts kicks in on Monday. It goes from the, let's see, from the 22nd of September until the 2nd of October. And then it can be lengthened for a month. I mean, I'm sure they're going to lengthen it. You know, it'll be like one of those states of emergency that they keep renewing and renewing and renewing and renewing. So eventually you're not going to be able to short these companies. But that doesn't stop people who own those shares from selling them. General Motors wants to be reclassified as a financial company so that they can be protected, because as a mere manufacturer of electric turbines or stuff like that that nobody needs, they don't get any protection at all. One of the, as I mentioned before, one of the things triggering this question was the situation of the money market mutual funds, which were beginning to blow as of the middle of the week. We had the Reserve Primary Money Market Fund exploding, breaking the buck, sinking below $1 per share as a NAV, a net asset value, and then ceasing. And then Putnam Institutional Money Market Fund. This is interesting. Putnam Institutional Money Market Fund, you could only get into with a $10 million investment. It's only for institutional investments, and they also blew. And therefore, it is reliably reported that we came once again, I think for the second time in a week, we were on the brink of systemic crisis. And actually, things are moving so fast. In the course of this week, we had Lehman Brothers going bankrupt between Sunday night and Monday morning. We've had Fannie and Freddie seized, of course. That's old news by now. Then the crisis shifted to American International Group, AIG, which is a conglomerate of 71 insurance companies with a huge balance sheet, and that one was bailed out with an $85 billion government commitment. So this, of course, this is an absolute mess. In order to get out of it, we got to get clarity. Again, you've got to realize the cause of the crisis is Friedmanite economics. How is that so? The mantra of deregulation and privatization is the key to the current crisis. In other words, the teachings of Friedrich von Hayek, the Austrian school, this character von Mises or von Mies, meaning shabby, as he's often called, Milton Friedman, the monetarist. Monetarism, understood as that mass of von Hayek, Austrian school, Friedman, Chicago school, and Mount Pelerin Society, which is the world headquarters of this cancer. They say, well, we need deregulation. Now, remember, the destruction of the Bretton Woods system back in 1971 was carried out emphatically under the influence of Milton Friedman, who was demanding that stuff. In other words, that governments should not set the price of currencies. This is where risk comes into the system, and risk becomes the be-all and end-all of the system, leading to the catastrophe of today. Thank Milton Friedman for what's going on around you. Topley here in Washington, D.C., arguing that the monetarism of von Hayek and the Austrian school, Friedman and the Chicago school, and the worldwide conspiracy of the Mount Pelerin Society above Geneva, Lake Leman, at the little town of Vevey, with Nestlé and all the rest of them being there, international monopolists all, those financial oligarchs arguing for deregulation brought about the destruction of the Bretton Woods system by Nixon and Kissinger and Arthur Burns on August 15th, 1971, with the help of George Shultz, by the way, who is still around. That led to the floating rate system. The floating rate system is inherently unworkable because it multiplies risk. In response to that risk, derivatives grew up, allegedly, first of all, as a hedge against risk and then as a means of increasing the risk in the system. Remember what French President Chirac called derivatives, financial aids. That is what derivatives are. Now, what you're being asked to do is to pay trillions of dollars to maintain financial aids in their present form. And all of this stuff was clear 10 years ago with the long-term capital management blow-up based on the Black-Scholes pricing model for derivatives, because for most derivatives, there is no market. Doesn't do any good to say we want the market for derivatives. There is none, and it's impossible. So the only thing to do with these derivatives is to wipe them out. Blank slate, sponge the blackboard, delete them, shred them, set up the bonfire of the derivatives and get rid of a quadrillion of derivatives. They are poison. They are incompatible with future human civilization on this planet. So again, deregulation leads to the end of the Bretton Woods system, August 15th, 1971, and then it leads to Greenspan, the libertarian, the Ayn Rand cultist, making derivatives legal, or arguing that they're legal, delivering opinions that they're legal. Now, in reality, if you go back and look in various law codes, you'll find that derivatives are still illegal, and that could be a hook to do what you want to do anyway politically, which is to destroy this cancerous mass of derivatives. Sometime between 1993, 94, 95, 96, in there, through a process of accretion and gradual steps, the Greenspan Fed established the derivatives bubble. Naturally, people know that Greenspan is responsible for the dot-com bubble and later for the housing bubble. But the mother of all bubbles is the derivatives bubble. It's up to 1 to 2 quadrillion, 1 to 2,000 trillion dollars, much more than the planet Earth is worth. That's 10 times more than the planet Earth is worth by any competent valuation. So deregulation sets the stage. Then comes privatization, Milton Friedman's other big point. Oh, big government is always the enemy. Yeah. Big government is the enemy. So here we have Fannie Mae, has existed since, what, 1938, perfectly functioning. In 1968, under the influence of Milton Friedman and his lunatic Chicago school, Fannie Mae is privatized partially, right, gets the worst of both. So it's a government corporation with a private profit motive. And all the other privatizations that have gone on are in the same spirit. They have set the stage. Without Milton Friedman, you would not have this Fannie Mae debacle. So now it's clear the free market is dead. That's clear to anybody. Anybody with a brain and two eyes can see. And naturally, there hasn't been a free market for 200 years in really any serious sense. But now even the illusion of the free market is destroyed, because now you have all these characters on CNBC. CNBC this afternoon is showing pictures of breadlines in the Great Depression saying, you've got to support the bailout of Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley and the rest of these pirates and bandits and thieves, or you're going to be on a breadline. Well, there is something to it. So what's going to be created now? We have Paulson laying down the ultimatum to the Congress. They have 7 days to decide the financial future of the United States. I urge everybody out there, for whatever reason, you got to be against this. Naturally, I'm against it from the New Deal point of view, but there are all sorts of other points of view that ought to be against it. Block it, stop it, filibuster it, and load it up with killer amendments of the type that I've talked about. Killer amendments under these circumstances would be anything that defended the public interest as distinct from the parasitical interest of Wall Street. By the way, there's more coming. Credit default swaps are another kind of derivative. Credit default swaps and counterparty risk, they're going to come forward with another risk corporation for that stuff. Now, generally speaking, the model for what is being done, it's being called the Resolution Trust Corporation, which was put in under Bush to bail out those savings and loan debacles back in the late 80s and early 90s. Remember that Silverado Neil Bush the son of the president and the brother of the current tenant of the White House, was one of the leading banqueteurs with about $3 billion that he bilked the U.S. Treasury for. But now what's going on is mortgage-backed securities. Mortgage-backed securities and, I believe, also collateralized debt obligations are supposed to go into a new toxic bank, U.S. sovereign wealth fund, meaning Uncle Sam's toxic paper bank. Now, they're going to buy mortgage-backed securities, which are derivatives, and possibly collateralized debt obligations, and put them into a special federal facility. The problem with that is this. If you look back to Resolution Trust Corporation, that dealt with real estate, something that had real value. In this case, you're dealing with a derivative that has zero value, negative value. Now, you could obviously say the mortgage-backed security is going to be wiped out, that's going to default, and then we'll deal with the individual mortgages. That would make sense. Then the individual mortgages could be maintained, and there you would have a possibility of getting out of the crisis. I think that would be my own approach. But if you think that you're going to pay off that extra layer, in other words, that supplementary layer of looting represented by the mortgage-backed securities and the CDOs, then you are in the area of a black hole, and there's not enough money in the world. With all the printing presses running 24/7, you cannot pay off a black hole. The only thing to do is to say the principal criterion of dealing with these toxic assets is to wipe out the derivative part thereof and only assume the mortgages. This would get you back towards the Homeowners Loan Corporation of 1934-35 under Roosevelt. So, and again, if you want to help people who are threatened by foreclosure, do the simple thing. Ban foreclosures for 5 years. You don't want foreclosures? Great. Ban them. Don't take this indirect route that guarantees absolutely nothing. And again, you're going to have people foreclosed on now by the federal government that they're paying. So they're going to be, you're going to be paying for your own foreclosure. You're going to be paying to get yourself foreclosed on by a company that has got its hand in your other pocket with this bailout. Now, the ultimate model of this is the Reconstruction Finance Corporation, except there are two. There's the Reconstruction Finance Corporation under Herbert Hoover, which is a failure because it attempts to do exactly what we're seeing now. That is to say, financial paper bailouts, loans to troubled banks and stuff like this. Under Hoover, it was $2 billion. That was considered a lot. So take $2 billion, multiply that by 1,000. That's about the depreciation of the dollar, and you get about $2 trillion. So that's where we are now. We're back to Herbert Hoover. This is a Herbert Hoover Reconstruction Finance Corporation measure. Now, with Roosevelt, there's a transformation of the Reconstruction Finance Corporation. He puts in the Texas financier, Jesse Jones, $50 billion over a period of about 10 years up until the end of World War II. And this creates the War Plant Corporation, the Synthetic Rubber Corporation, and a list of other extremely important production facilities. That's what you got to get into. Forget the paper. Let the paper go down. Paper bad, tangible physical production, commodity production, good. Paper bad, commodity production, good. Tangible physical wealth is what you need. We'll be back in a minute with the second hour of World Crisis Radio. Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. This is our second hour. We're taping our show here on the afternoon of Friday, the 19th of September. We're in the midst of this national attempted suicide, the bailout of 1 to 2 quadrillion of toxic derivatives paper, an impossible task, and calling on people to contact their congressman and say, block it, stop it, filibuster it. And as far as everybody is concerned, please remember you are urged to buy Barack H. Obama, the unauthorized biography, Barack H. Obama, the unauthorized biography, available at Lulu.com and now also at Amazon.com. Buy some copies at Amazon.com. It says one copy available. Many copies are available. That will be adjusted soon. And, of course, Obama, the postmodern coup, the making of a Manchurian candidate, also available at Amazon.com and Lulu.com. Now, shifting gears out of the bankruptcy of the finance capital system and into domestic politics, we're joined once again by a good friend, that is Phil Berg, Philip J. Berg, Esquire, former Deputy Attorney General of Pennsylvania, former Democratic candidate for governor of Pennsylvania, Senator, U.S. Senator from Pennsylvania, former Democratic State Committee Man of Pennsylvania, former Democratic Chairman of Montgomery County, Pennsylvania. And he, of course, is the courageous lawyer who is challenging the constitutional qualifications of Barack H. Obama, Barry Sotero, and a million aliases of to be President of the United States. Phil, welcome.
My pleasure.
Wonderful. We're so glad to have you. We want to have you every week until the election and until this monstrous case is resolved. So we're hoping you can give us an update, first of all, on the legal steps and then also on the publicity side of things and the gathering interest in this case.
Well, things are mushrooming. We have not heard anything at this point from Barack Obama's people or from the Democratic National Committee. The Federal Election Commission, I'm not that concerned about at this point, but therefore it's our belief that the DNC and Obama are working together. I don't know what they're doing. They have respond, you know, by next week, so we'll have to wait and see what if they respond, if they file a motion for a continuance, if they file a motion to dismiss, whatever they're going to do. But the, as you know and your listeners know, it has exploded on the Internet. You can't put in like Obama Berg or Obama lawsuit anyplace without getting millions of responses. Our website, which is ObamaCrimes.com, OBAMACRIMES.COM, as of this morning, and we're like a day or two behind in reporting, we had 13,389,829 hits on our website in 3 weeks, which is really amazing. The interest is there, and it's not only just, it's coming from Republicans, it's coming from Democrats, it's even coming from Obama supporters to saying, you know, what's the real story here? You know, because people that have the biggest interest I have here is to enforce our U.S. Constitution, and we can't make a bite of it or a joke of it. And I think that's why Barack Obama owes it to the American public, as well as the Democratic National Committee. You know, if I'm wrong, produce the birth certificate and produce the oath of allegiance, which he would have had to take when he came back to our country from Indonesia. And as long as we get certified copies, we'll walk away, but I don't believe he has it, because if he did, I think he would have produced it before this time. We filed suit on August 21st. Today is just about a month later. It's September 19th, and not one word officially from them. There's some things they've put up on their fightthesmears.com. Well, actually, that's been up, but factcheck.org has posted something saying that they actually looked at the certification of live birth, which is on the website, and it's true. Well, you know, we just put on our website another analysis of this certification of live birth, and there's no question in our mind that that has been altered, and therefore it's an invalid document, and basically it's fraud. So I don't know who's kidding who here. Obama, I guess, with the arrogance about that campaign, they're hoping that the courts don't rule on it, I guess, and the elections take place, that he wins, and then I could see him trying to take office, and then the only thing we could do is impeach him. And with a Democratic Congress after that, that'd be very difficult to do. So I'm not sure what's going to happen on that. But we have filed, I believe I mentioned to you last week, but for your listeners, we filed a motion for expedited discovery, including taking the deposition of Barack Obama and of Howard Dean, the head of the Democratic National Committee. As of this time, there's been no response from the defendants, that's Obama, the DNC, or the Federal Election Commission, and the deadline for response on those motions is rapidly approaching. So the court won't rule on until the opposition has a time to respond. I'm not sure what they're doing, but I'm prepared whatever they want to do. I mean, whatever action they take, I know we're right. I know he was born in Kenya. I know this is a fraud on the American public. Hopefully the judge will see our way and, you know, order something shortly. But you know, that's out of my hands at this point.
Okay. Now, we want to remind everybody, Fact Check is, of course, Annenberg Fact Check. And there is a conflict of interest, which they should declare. They should recuse themselves because Barack Hussein Obama was, of course, the boss of the Chicago Annenberg Challenge, meaning that he was somebody who was employed by the Annenberg Foundation with the help of the terrorist bomber weatherman Bill Ayers, who got him the job. So there, the Annenberg Foundation is coming out essentially defending their own investment in Obama's career.
Correct.
And that's outrageous. The second thing is, it looks to me like they're doing a triple stonewall. That is, they're refusing to respond through legal channels. They're refusing to produce the birth certificate, which would be something they could do. And they're also, a third level, they're refusing to say anything. They don't respond. In other words, they pretend all of this is not going on, even as they're taking a tremendous public relations hit. The price to pay for 13.4 million visits to that website, and this does not count, I think, all the other websites that have taken up your the story. In other words, this stuff has been in the Washington Times, the Philadelphia Times Herald. It's been on various right wing websites, left wing, the Puma websites. The anti-Obama Democrats have put it up. So there's a multiplier effect there. We're into the tens of millions of people who are aware of this. And I think I told you, for people coming into town from down south, were telling us here, you know, as if it were something new, that there's this lawyer who's suing Obama. Isn't this amazing?
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes more and more suspicious, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it could be a reason. I'm not going to take credit for it, but it could be a reason why the polls are basically neck or neck. And some polls even show McCain leading. Whereas, you know, the Democrat at this point should be running away with it, especially after 8 years of Bush. But without getting to the politics of it, I think that, you know, that this has an effect on it. So I'm not sure what they're doing. I would just like to get to the bottom. If I'm wrong, prove me wrong and I'll walk away. But I don't think I'm wrong at this point. It's gone this long without any comment. But also, why the right wing, why the Fox News and why Hannity and why O'Reilly and these haven't taken hold on it. I believe it's because the Republicans are aware of this, but they want to come out with it later. They want to bring it out like in October, which would cripple the entire Democratic ticket. And I'm not trying to cripple the ticket. You know, my position is, if I'm correct, then Obama step out early enough so the Democratic Party could substitute and put, you know, another candidate in. The closer it gets to election time, it's going to be a worse disaster, in my opinion, for the Democratic Party. And we're headed towards a constitutional crisis.
Absolutely. And the fact that you came forward with this well before, several days before the Democratic National Convention, I think it indicates your motivation, which was not, you know, to sandbag the Democratic side. Stay with us, Bill. We'll be back in just a second.
Radio.
Crisis Radio. This is Webster Topley in Washington, D.C., talking to the distinguished jurist Philip J. Berg, Esquire of Philadelphia. Phil, I think there are two working hypotheses. The pessimistic one is that Rupert Murdoch, the boss of the Wall Street Journal and Fox News, News Corp, tells Roger Ailes what to do. He has indicated that he's very intrigued with Obama and is on the point of endorsing him, right? He thinks he's a rock star, and that's wonderful. The ruling class generally thinks that Obama is the way they can get the austerity policies they're going to need to bail out the Wall Street investment banks, but under left cover. That's the pessimistic one. The optimistic one is what you say, that by the time we get into October, that we're going to find Republican 527s and others coming forward on a whole series of ad hominem issues, right, from Wright and Resco and Bill Ayers and Larry Sinclair to this question of the citizenship. So I hope you're right, and I guess we'll soon find out.
Absolutely. I mean, time's running on the case. Hopefully we'll get some kind of favorable ruling. We're going to wait and see. You know, I don't know the next step until the court makes a move at this point or the defendants make a move. But, you know, their time to make a move is soon. And if not, you know, then we'll have to see what the court does. We're prepared. We've been doing a lot of – we're ready for anything that might happen. We've been pre-planning and doing some things are underway, which I can't discuss right now. But we're moving ahead on this because this is such a critical issue. Time's short, and I really think that Obama is doing a disservice not only to – well, specifically all the citizens in this country, but more important to the people who have supported him. Either you like prove it or you know, or prove it or quit at this point. Because, I mean, last month he raised something like 50-some million dollars. And I think that if this is done under false pretenses, everyone can turn around and sue him. So I hope that, in a way, I hope I'm wrong for his benefit, but I don't think, unfortunately, I don't think I am. And I really think that he owes a lot of explaining and to a lot of people because, you know, he knows his birth status. He knows what's going on. And I think it's incumbent upon him and his staff to come forth with it at this point.
But now, again, in conclusion, there is no firm calendar. In other words, there's no date we can point to and say the judge will rule here or Obama has to respond here. In other words, this is all pretty much up in the air. Am I right?
That's correct.
All right. Well, that just means one thing. That means we need to apply more mass mobilization pressure on this, and that means ObamaCrimes.com, ObamaCrimes.com, and obviously go there, inform yourself, but also there's an apparatus there where you can make a contribution with PayPal or a credit card, and I urge everybody to do it because this stuff does cost money. Phil is working pro bono. That's a real labor of patriotism and civic virtue and public spirit, but other people can also contribute. So I guess last word goes to you. Anything else?
No, just I appreciate your listeners. I appreciate everyone visiting our site. We were trying to update as much as possible. Today we just put on a new update regarding analysis of that certification of live birth to show that it really is a phony. And the contributions would be great if each one of your listeners could, like, donate or raise $20. If you can't do it, get 10 people each to give us $2. And it would help because we have to be prepared in case we have to go to the Third Circuit and or to the United States Supreme Court, which we plan to do. We're not going to leave this hanging. If the defendants want to leave it hanging by trying to delay and stuff like that, we're going to do everything we can to expedite it because I think we need a ruling on this. I think it's a total disgrace what's been happening right now.
Just looking ahead, I know I had a case go to the Supreme Court when I ran for Senate from New York State in 1986, and the guy on the Supreme Court who did the Second Circuit from Manhattan was Thurgood Marshall at that time. Do you know which one of these guys first if you're coming from the Third Circuit?
No, I should know, but I don't know. A date we're looking at, there's one day we're looking at. We're looking at the 24th. That's the date that they have to respond by. That's the defendants, so DNC and Obama.
So how would Dean and Obama have to say something by the 24th of September, according
to the
calendar
we have
now?
Well, that's the date that they must respond by. If they don't, then the different factors can go on. But we should be looking for something by Wednesday the 24th.
All right, fine. Well, we hope you come back next week and give us another report, because this, I think our audience here are some of your most enthusiastic supporters. I know I am. We want to thank Philip J. Berg of Philadelphia. Again, the website is ObamaCrimes.com, ObamaCrimes.com. That's a very active website, always growing, and up to practically 14 million hits in 1 month. Boy, that's impressive. Thank you very much, Phil, and best of luck during the week, and stay safe.
I will. My pleasure. Thank you, and talk to you next week.
Bye-bye. See you soon. All right, so there's the campaign update. Just in terms of the campaign, the one thing that interests me about this is if you look at the response to this crisis, McCain is running to the left of Obama. Obama is well to the right of McCain on all this stuff. If you look at Obama, it's a half-hearted series of debaters' points. He tries to say, you know, Bush equals McCain, and this idiotic mantra that he has, which is just a bunch of debaters' points, true or not true, irrelevant. Then you ask Barkey, what would you do? Please tell us, what would you do? Well, we need to coordinate the regulatory agencies. Wait a minute. The regulatory stuff is too late. The horse is out of the barn door. You can't say close the barn door and prevent the crisis. You're in the middle of the crisis. You need anti-crisis methods. Now, if you look at Obama, he has zero to propose. Nothing. Nix. Nada. McCain, at least verbally, rhetorically, has a more vigorous attack because he attacks Wall Street. Obama never attacks Wall Street. Yeah, it's logical. Obama is owned by Wall Street. Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, and the rest of these hyenas are the people who give Obama his vaunted fundraising edge. The bundlers for Barkey are all in the investment bank. Some of them have gone under, but the Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs characters are still there. Plus, he was getting big bucks from Fannie Mae and getting advice from Frank Raines and Jim Johnson, Trilateral Bilderberg, both profiteers and looters of Fannie Mae. Whereas McCain attacks Wall Street, he attacks outrageous abuses, greed of Wall Street, promises a regulatory regime, and attacks the casino economy. On the whole, more vigorous. McCain also calls for the firing of Cox. Now we're being told by the apostles of weak government, including Obama and his Obamazoids, that the president can't fire the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission. Sure he can. The president simply sends a public message to this Chris Cox saying, your services are no longer required. I need your resignation on my desk. And that's how government has to work. Okay? So we'll be back in a minute on World Crisis Radio.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. Webster Tarp here in Washington, D.C., reminding you, you've got to buy Barack H. Obama, The Unauthorized Biography. You will not know who you're voting for or voting against without reading the full story of the foundation operative, the poverty pimp, Barack Hussein Obama. I urge listeners, we've got this question going on. It's repeated a million times. What's a community organizer? What's a community organizer? The answer is in Barack H. Obama, The Unauthorized Biography. A community organizer is a poverty pimp, a povertician, a poverty crat. Poverty pimp working for the foundations. Doing what? Doing divide and conquer, playing black against white, white against Hispanic, Asian against black, unemployed against employed, men against women, old against young, north against south, you name it. Split, divide, subdivide, fragmentation, balkanization, parochialism, narrow organizing base. This is the Alinsky method. Basically, Alinsky says, let's take black unemployed and play them against the white unions. This then led to the Philadelphia plan by Nixon and Schultz, which is the basis of the current affirmative action approach. We didn't need affirmative action. We needed a Marshall Plan for the cities and a New Deal for everybody. And instead we got these wretched racial quotas, which have left two-thirds of the black inner-city poverty pockets intact with total despair, worse than they've ever been. We got to dump that policy and get back to national economic reconstruction and national economic recovery policy. So that's what this Barack H. Obama, the unauthorized biography, goes into. This is what it means when your mother worked for the Ford Foundation with the microloan program, spreading usury in the third world, pathetic little $100 loan so you buy a overpriced cell phone and become the phone booth for some wretched little hamlet in the third world somewhere on the veldt or the favelas. Terrible, terrible stuff. This is his mother, Stanley Ann Dunham. She probably thought she was a Marxist. She was very radical. I'm sure she was so radical she was doing the Ford Foundation's work. She probably thought, if those financiers knew what I was really doing, then they wouldn't like it. Yeah, they like it. They think it's great. So she spread that garbage in Indonesia and Pakistan and indeed other places. Obama's mother worked for the State Department. Obama's mother worked for USAID, U.S. Agency for International Development. That means the State Department, people. Obama is a State Department family. And, of course, she also worked for the World Bank, one of the premier institutions of international finance capital. Then Obama got himself into the Ford Foundation orbit. Some of the radical stuff of the 1960s burned the Ford Foundation too much back in the extremist McGeorge Bundy era, the New York City teachers' strike with the racism and anti-Semitism and virtual race war spread by that in New York City. So they eventually got into this habit of not sending the grants directly, but funneling the grants through intermediaries, cutouts, so that the Ford would have plausible denial. They'd funnel them through the Gamaliel, the Joyce, the Woods, and others. And those are the ones that Barkey Obama ended up working for. And that includes then the Annenberg Foundation, which is avidly on the Internet faking all these fact checks to defend their tremendous foundation interest and financier investment in the career of Barkey Obama. So you've got to go to Lulu.com. Go to Lulu.com. Go to Amazon.com. Don't be frightened off by the fact that Amazon says only one copy is available. Lots and lots of copies available. As many as you need. Buy 5, buy 10. Get a bulk order. You're going to need this. You've got to take it to your local talk radio operatives. Get it on the air. Get yourself on the air with these theses. But above all, time to call in to Rush. Time to call into Hannity, time to call into O'Reilly, to Ed Schultz. What's a community organizer? The good American term for a community organizer is a poverty pimp. And a poverty pimp means a cynical opportunist who uses the sufferings of poor wretches and dupes them and turns them into a saleable political commodity. And the way you sell the commodity is you put them into pawns. You make these poor people into pawns in a divide-and-conquer racket. That's the poverty pimp method. This is goes back to Rhody McCoy. It goes back, really, to the decline of the Office of Economic Opportunity under Sergeant Shriver, the oligarch from the Kennedy family already in the mid-1960s. The poverty pimp would organize a constituency of wretched people and promise them something, but then play them against the local union or the local government or whatever the target of the financier elite happened to be. And the remedy for that is elementary class consciousness. The idea, the Plato's terms, that there's the rule of the one, the few, and the many, and none of those is adequate by itself, but only a government that brings all three of those interests together so that the worst aspects cancel each other out. And needless to say, the big problem of our world right now is the oligarchs because that's the system we have. There are no Stalins in view in the world today, but there are oligarchies, and that's what's being assembled in Washington to ram through this lunatic bailout. So please order your copies. Barack H. Obama, The Unauthorized Biography, The Poverty Pimp book, the book that exposes Obama as a poverty pimp working for the foundations, a divide-and-conquer operative who wants to take that same Alinsky Ford Foundation method, takes that all the way up to the presidency, bringing the United States, in my view, if not to civil war, then much too close to civil war for comfort, because this is an impossible enterprise that is union busting and austerity enforcement by Barack Hussein Obama. This will not work. There will be a powerful right-wing backlash, which will have many more of the traditional features of fascism compared to Obama, who already has most of them, or all of them, but he has them in the left form, which is not readily recognizable to many people today because they don't know history. To sum it up, in terms of the economics right now, you have three choices. You can have an immediate crash, you can have a hyperinflationary bailout, or you can have a New Deal recovery program. The immediate crash would be what Andrew Mellon called for back in the 1930s. Liquidate labor, liquidate stocks, liquidate real estate, liquidate everything. This is the Schumpeter creative destruction. And I'm very sad to see. I saw Ron Paul on television yesterday calling for that. The immediate deflationary crash. Well, what do you get with an immediate deflationary crash? It means that within a matter of weeks or a couple of months at the most, there's no food in the supermarkets and the electricity goes off, because without a credit system, you can't move commodities, you can't make the wheels of industry turn, and that includes infrastructure and power and everything else, water, electricity, food, and other services. That all requires a credit system. So the Schumpeter creative destruction, Andrew Mellon, Ron Paul alternative, unfortunately leads to death on a large scale. And nobody should accept a dislocation of that type in the name of some ideology. That is just off the charts. So B, the hyperinflationary bailout is what you're getting right now. The hyperinflationary bailout buys you some months. Maybe this particular bailout now is going to buy a month or 6 weeks. But then you begin to pay the price of hyperinflation. It's time to batten down the hatches on hyperinflation. It's time to get out of paper and into commodities that you need, use values, things that you can eat, wear, tools of your trade, the home you want to own, or invest in education. That's another kind of asset that you can buy. We'll be back in a minute.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Well, search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Crisis now in the afternoon of the 19th of September. We're in the midst of this huge crisis on Wall Street. We're in the midst now of an attempt by Paulson and the finance oligarchs, the principals committee as far as the government's concerned. But Paulson is the point where the Wall Street finance oligarchs hook up to the principals committee that now runs Washington, D.C., not Bush, not Cheney, but the Principals Committee, with Paulson now being the central figure of that group, along with Gates, Rice, and Mullen. Three choices: the immediate deflationary crash, in other words, do nothing or demand the market, means chain reaction bankruptcies. Every institution in Wall Street goes down. J.P. Morgan Chase blows. Citibank blows. Wachovia blows. Bank of America blows. Goldman Sachs blows. And Morgan Stanley blows. So far, so good. But unfortunately, then every other bank in the U.S. blows. You're back to March of 1933 under Herbert Hoover, and the economic heart of the United States stops beating. The system of production and distribution breaks down. Paychecks cannot be done. And within weeks or months, there's no food in the supermarket and no electricity and no other means of human existence. So that's the problem with the Andrew Mellon liquidate labor, liquidate stocks, liquidate real estate, the Schumpeter creative destruction, and the various other apostles of the so-called free market who want that. Free market right now means death on a large scale. Second possibility, hyperinflationary bailout. This is what you're seeing. This is Paulson, Bernanke, Cox and company. And that is going to lead to what we said before, death agony of the dollar, dollar hyperinflation, treasury bonds going to junk status. And eventually that leads to a crash that leaves you slightly worse off than number one, although it buys you a little bit of time. It tends to destroy the wealth in the world in the meantime. So both of those are bad. We don't want an immediate deflationary crash. We don't want a hyperinflationary bailout. We want the New Deal. We want activist measures to wipe out derivatives, seize the Federal Reserve, and issue long-term 1% credit or 0.5% credit or 0.25% credit. Now with computers, you can really lower the price on those loans down to practically nothing. And channel that into production only, mining, manufacturing, tangible physical wealth, hard commodity production, and so forth. Couple of notes now in the conclusion. The hacking into Palin's email account. All those left liberals were so freaked out that Bush, under the FISA law, was going to listen to their phone calls and look into their email accounts, with good reason. But now you see the difference with fascism. Bush represents the top-down model, right? The police state totalitarian top-down dictatorship. The hacking into Palin's email, most likely by the son of a Democratic congressman, as far as we can see, that's going to be cleared up. But this is worse than the FISA business, because this is now goons, thugs, fascist street fighters, except now become fascist internet fighters, going in to hack Palin's mail, and the same left libs who would be freaked if Bush reads their email are now gloating that Palin's email have been read, and they're trying to, you know, concoct accusations against her based on this stuff. This is the difference with fascism, is that the wrecking done by fascism is done with left cover, anti-establishment cover, radical cover, grassroots cover. So you got these fascist myrmidons working for Barkey. That's your big problem. Beware of fake polling. Remember that polling, fake polling, is a critical part of the postmodern coup. That's the Orange Revolution in Ukraine, the Roses Revolution in Georgia that brought us the mentally unstable drug addict, as we're now told, Saakashvili. Notice also that Obama has violated the Logan Act. Obama is now a felon. Obama has violated the Logan Act by attempting to prolong the Iraq war. In other words, an October surprise in reverse. Remember the big hue and cry that Reagan and Kissinger, and it was true, they did do this. Bush, Reagan, and Kissinger attempted, and Dick Allen, tried to and successfully convince the Iranian mullahs not to release the hostages in Iran before the 1980 election. And that was a huge abuse. Now they were able to weasel out of it. Now you have Obama doing the same thing, saying, hey, Iraq, don't set up a situation where troops are coming home from Iraq so they can live and end this war. Obama tries to play it for his own despicable personal advantage. So that is a violation of the Logan Act. Logan Act says that an individual cannot make foreign policy negotiations for the United States. That is illegal. So we're seeing fascism in action with the hacking into Palin, and we're seeing Obama, this is a real display of cynical hypocrisy and nihilism by Obama, violating the Logan Act. Hey, left liberals, people you are so worried about ending the Iraq war, and you should be, how about Obama attempting to prolong the Iraq war so that he can get personal political advantage out of it? ultimately, I think the result of this situation, you see, the media don't pick up on this stuff. Why? Because Immelt of General Electric, the guy who wants to be classified as a hedge fund now, has put these guys, Kapus and Zucker, as heads of NBC News. They're now the flagship of this fascist media phalanx. The Falangists, the phalanx, that was the Spanish fascist organization, right? Also in Lebanon, same thing. The obvious thing now is to defeat the media. So clearly the situation has deteriorated massively once again, but I think the strategic orientation remains clear. Defeat Obama at all costs. Whatever problems we have, and we have many, are going to be worse if you get a puppet of Goldman Sachs and Lehman Brothers in the White House. Obama, I understand, has already rushed to approve this hyperinflationary, suicidal bailout of Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, the multi-trillion dollar commitment of the Treasury to buy up toxic mortgage derivatives, mortgage-backed securities. Obama's already in favor of that. When Barkey votes for that, you're going to know where he stands. I don't know what McCain is going to do. If he has a brain, he would be against it. If you're a maverick, McCain, you better be against this bailout. That would give you a chance of winning the election against Obamazoid and his neo-fascist myrmidons. So that's the situation. And watching for hyperinflation, the euro has already gained almost 2 cents on the dollar just since this was announced, and I'm sure that is just the beginning. The British have also banned short selling. Notice, though, that the short selling ban is only for 799 financial stocks, and it's only for a period of 10 days. Cox has proven again that he should be fired by refusing to reinstate the uptick rule. In other words, this wonderful New Deal measure that says you can only short a stock when the last transaction is up. They're saying, oh, in the modern world, it's so hard to do that. Yeah, you can do it. You can do all of that stuff if you want to. We're also told that there was a panic run on AIG in Singapore. That would be in the great tradition of Countrywide last August, Northern Rock last October, Bear Stearns, and now AIG panic runs. Watch for panic runs in many places outside of the U.S. where the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation is not active. The other thing we're paying for, of course, is the repeal of Glass-Steagall. This is an elementary piece of New Deal regulation. It was abolished in 1999 in November. This was a joint production of Clinton and Greenspan. Glass-Steagall simply said a commercial bank and a stock jobbing operation, a stock brokerage, have to be separate companies. You can't mix them up. The reason that J.P. Morgan Chase and Citibank are now on the verge of blowing up is precisely the repeal of Glass-Steagall. So we'll be back next week, and in the meantime, don't forget to buy Barack H. Obama, the unauthorized biography, available at Lulu.com and Amazon.com. And, of course, Obama, the Postmodern Coup, the making of a Manchurian candidate, available at Amazon.com and Lulu.com. And block that bailout. Block that bailout.